Attitude? Attitude, attitude. yes. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. I was talking to some friends yesterday, and as I was speaking to them, they were telling me of an experience that they had had. They woke up in the middle of the night, and they saw some lights coming into their driveway. And they thought, my goodness, who is this? Some intruder? See, the first thought was an intruder. And then they thought, are the children all at home? Are they all in bed? And then they thought, oh, maybe someone delivering a message of gloom or something, of a problem, something about mother. Maybe mother's not doing too well. Oh, dear. And by the time that the people, whoever it was, backed out of the driveway, using it as a turnaround place, 100 thoughts had gone through the minds of the people who were looking out the window and seeing it. Now, why did they distress themselves over an experience that was not something to be distressed over? True, it isn't normal that people back or drive into your driveway and back out and use you as a turning around place, because you're right in the middle of the block, and certainly no one would be doing that. But why is it that they did that? Well, why is it you were awake and alert and saw it? Most time, if somebody did that, they'd pull in and pull out, and you wouldn't even know that they were doing that. But why is it that you were alert? Why is it you were awake? Why is it that you saw the incident? Why? Now, you say, well, I don't know. I saw it, I guess, because I had to be aware of it, you know. Well, if you had to be aware of every single thing that takes place in life, you'd be a very busy person. Now, what if thoughts were things? And every little thought we think was empowered by our thinking about it, our attitude about it, our awareness of it. What if every little thought were to come true? Now, what if your mother had indeed a problem, and you were being notified by someone who drives up? Or what if indeed your children were coming home late, and you were worried about them? What if indeed it was an intruder who boldly drove into your drive and was going to come in and help himself in your house? What if it were 100,000 things that could come up? You say, well, Herb, 100,000 things, that's a lot of things. No, I'm just trying to impress upon us, upon me, the idea that one little incident can generate a lot of thoughts, a lot of possibilities. And possibilities that are in the back of our mind that we're not even thinking about. Possibilities that are contiguous to what we're thinking about. They're not even on the primary thought at all. And what are we doing? We are empowering these momentary things that pop into our life because we have not trained ourselves to always recognize all is in divine order. We have not trained ourselves to always recognize that all is bright and cheery. Today I'm looking up at the sky and there's a mist all over the place. It's a lovely Saturday. And as I look at the sky and I see this mist, it slowly rises. And now it is sunrise. And the sun is topping over the top of the mountain. And it's just climbing up through the mist and going over it, and with its warmth and its love, it sort of dissipates the mist. And it's like a giant ball of love, a giant ball of purity and goodness and wholeness. What do I think about the sun? Do I think about the sun that it's a negative thing, or do I think a positive thing for the sun? When I think positive, then it is positive. When I think happy, then it is happy. When I think good, then it is good. Whatever thoughts I think about anything, any experience, any activity, or me, take place in my life. Everything takes place in beautiful, wonderful, harmonious way. Now, I train myself every day And I give myself lots of opportunities to train in it too. But I train myself every day in unconditional love. I train myself every day to look at every circumstance in a loving way. To look at every circumstance and say, now, if I am a loving person, this is the response I'm going to give. I'm going to take off my loving pile and give it. If I am not a loving person, I will take off my unloving pile and give from that. Now, whoever had a loving pile and an unloving pile? Well, we all do. We all have loving thoughts and unloving thoughts. I had a message from a young lady last night, and she was telling me of an incident that she'd gone through. And she was living alone in a house, and she befriended a man. And the man came into her house and said he needed some money. And so she went to her purse and got some money for him and wanted to help him because she believed in him. Well, then she said, the man said, I want all of your money. And naturally, she just turned it over to him. And then he said, and I want your toys. I want your computers. I want your this and that. And so he began to empty the house of all of her treasures. And she didn't have many treasures, but they were very great treasures to her. And to top it all off, he took the keys to her car and loaded everything in the car and drove away. Now, why did this happen to her? It happened to her first because she saw someone in need. Whenever we see anyone in need, we create ourselves in need. And so, as she created him in need of having money, and her innocent, genuine purity of giving it, she created the need for him to have money. And that need was not a very nice thing to do, because that created him as someone who needed money because he didn't have it. And so then one thing just led to another, and he compounded that by taking all that he could. Now, he wished her no harm because she could not visualize anyone doing anything that would harm her. It was the farthest thing from her mind that anyone would ever attack her, that anyone would ever take advantage of her. That was not in her consciousness, and it did not happen. It did not happen that he ransacked her home in a vicious way, tearing things apart and so forth. He just quietly went through and found all the things he wanted and took them. But he took them because she felt he was in need. She felt he needed that. And as she felt he needed that, he fulfilled that understanding in her consciousness. It fulfilled the attitude in her mind. And he took those things. Now, he left, and there she was, down to point zero again. And she'd been there many times before. But this time, it was an unhappy point zero. It wasn't a point zero because she had used up her resources, but because she had consciously, by thinking this person was in need, created herself in need, created herself in lack, created herself as being the victim of an unhappy incident. You think that you don't do that? We think we don't do that? Whenever we have a cold, it's because we're feeling down about something. We're feeling unhappy about our body, and we stop our immune system from doing its normal, beautiful work that we could do in blizzards, and we could do in the desert, we could do anywhere, and always have that perfect body. But we don't have that perfect body when we feel that our body is not perfect for some reason, or when we feel the condition is right. Now, are you going to feel the condition is right? People say to me, well, I don't want to take pills or I don't want to take shots because that indicates then that I have a need for it. No. you take pills and you take shots as your doctor advises, because you went to the doctor in the first place because you had a problem. Now, the problem didn't exist because you were taking the pills. The problem existed because you had an attitude in your mind that the conditions that would bring that problem about were there. Now, the pills and shots and what have you will have very little to do with relieving the problem. Only as you feel that they work, only as you feel that they're beneficial to you, do the problems then dissolve, and you return to your original purity and integrity. And if the pills make you feel that you're returning there, then they're well and good. If they don't, then of course the pills won't do you much good. And this has been proven true in many instances, that people who needed the pills and didn't believe in them got no results. And people who needed the pills and were given placebos to say that they were pills, but they weren't, it worked for them beautifully. You see, our life, our being, is so fantastic, so amazing, and we work under such an amazing attitude of mind and consideration, that if we could only be 100% in charge of our attitudes, in charge of our thoughts, in charge of what we think and say and do about ourselves and about everyone who comes into our life, then miracles will happen. Should this person or couple persist in thinking that the person driving in their driveway was going to be an intruder, they would have created him that way. Should they insist on creating him as the one who comes home with their child and brings them to the house and drops them off, you know, one of their buddies perhaps, that's the way it would be. If we create it the bearer of bad news, then that's the way it would be. Whatever it is that we choose to have as our attitude in our life, in creating things the way we want them to be, then so be it. That's the way they are. We're the master of our every moment experience. We're the master of our every moment thought. We're the master of our experience, no matter whether we like it or whether we don't, because we're the ones who put in motion those causes that effect follows. Are we ready to take charge? We say, we teach the little children. We teach the little children not to believe in themselves, but to believe in the rules of society. And if we would teach little children to believe in themselves, to follow what their heart tells them to do all the time, these little children would be such fantastic, glorious beings. They would be the emulation of the Christ consciousness to the highest degree. And it's not too late for us, whatever our age may be, to speak our word and to live in that consciousness of purity and total goodness, in that consciousness of oneness and unity and life and love, in that consciousness that all is good and very good. Can you be ingenuous? Can you be wonderful? Can you be such a pure ideal being that every thought you think is a thought that you really would like to have expressed in your life? If not, then it's time to do a little homework. I know for myself, my training of myself goes on and on. My awareness of myself goes on and on. My opportunities are ever being presented to me, ever testing me to see if I really do believe what I say I believe. Am I really an unconditionally loving person? Am I really a person whose every thought is pure and beautiful and good? Am I a person whom I would respect to be with? Am I a person whom I would respect to live with if I looked at me as just a bystander, observing how I handle life and how I work with every moment of life? Would I enjoy being with me? Would I enjoy being inside of me if that was who I was? Well, I am, and I do. And everything in life for me is so wonderful, so beautiful, so fabulous. And I look at my dog Rex and I say, it's so wonderful, so beautiful, so fabulous. And he comes up to me and he says, yes, that's true. You think hug? And I get a hug. And away we go. Yes. And we can do that to ourselves too. Right, Rex? We can love ourselves because we are very beautiful people. Well, have a lovely day. And know that for myself, I think all these beautiful thoughts. And I would recommend that you remember, you're in my mind. I created you. And I created you good and very good. I created you wonderful and very wonderful. And I love you. I love you. I love you.